Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
American Maya Manuela is an emerging singer and songwriter with a loyal following of fans. She has been releasing her music publicly for roughly half a decade. Maya boasts 135,000 monthly listeners on Spotify alone, and her TikTok viral single Multiverse is nearing 40 million streams across platforms. Her music is known for its relatable lyrics that truly and deeply resonate with her audience. Her songs often revolve around the theme of love, heartbreak, and self-discovery. Maya has deals with Music Bed Sync Publishing. She has headlined tours throughout the USA and has opened for top liners such as Angie McMahon. In 2025, she performed at the Levitate Music Festival, Musicians Corner Nashville, and SXSW. In 2025, she released the EP Start With The End, as well as singles Je Ne Sa, Laura, and Radio Station. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Maya Manuela. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm psyched to be on. I'm currently in Plymouth, Massachusetts. It's like 45 minutes south of Boston, and I'm doing really well. It's hot today. I've been living in Nashville for the past 6 years, so summers usually feel like this down there, but it's rare up here to get into the 90s.
So have you moved back to Massachusetts?
Temporarily.
Okay.
I wanted to come up for the summer to spend time with my family and to get ready for a tour and everything, but I am not quite sure if I'm going back in the fall or in the winter to Nashville.
At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be in this music world, I want to go down this path, and how did that journey progress?
Oh gosh, it was honestly, I think in like elementary school. I was writing songs at that point. I mean, they, you know, were barely songs, but I was like singing and making up little things at that point. And it just never went away. That desire to do it never went away. So I stuck with it, and in middle school created a songwriting program. I did a summer camp at Berkeley for songwriting and continued to do it all throughout high school. But by the time I was graduating high school, the school I went to was very adamant about going to college. So I think in my junior year, I was pretty set on moving to Nashville and just not going to college. And they were strongly advising against that for probably good reason. So I ended up going to school for a year and a half. And during that period, decided not to pursue music. It just didn't feel realistic to me at the time to spend 4 years doing something that was not, I didn't go to school for music. It wasn't something I studied. So doing something that's not related to music and then getting back into, or trying to break into the industry in some way, I just didn't feel realistic. So I kind of gave up music for that period of time and then gave up school to go and do music.
So what did you study when you were at college?
I was double majoring in Spanish and communications.
You say that you didn't feel it was realistic or would be realistic to pursue it. What was the click in your brain to say, okay, now I'm going to do it?
There were a couple of things. I had done a summer semester in Cuba. And during that time, one of the Cuban students, she was also in college, but she was based in Cuba. She was teaching a class for us. And during her kind of lecture, she was talking about freedom and was saying that in America, we assume that we're free because we have so many freedoms, but that we were all at school because that was what we were supposed to do. And I was like, oh, I feel like she's talking to me. I think I'm going to leave. And I stuck it out for one more semester after that. But then I think for me, I've always been, I feel like my body sends me signals when I'm not in the right place or not on the right path. And I was getting so sick and I just like didn't feel good to be there and to not be doing music. And so it was the culmination of a lot of things. But I think that lecture really stood out to me. And then I just hit a point where I was like, I don't care. I'm just going to go try it.
Obviously, we know that Nashville is one of the creative hubs in the world and writing hubs. Is that one of the main reasons you decided to go there? Were there other reasons as well?
Well, I thought I was going to write country music, actually. I grew up listening to a lot of country, and the kind of South Shore of Massachusetts sometimes acts like the South of the US. So there is a lot of, we'd listen to like country music on the beach, and that was just what I was around a lot. So my goal was to go and write country, which is why Nashville, and then that ended up shifting. But that's what brought me down there initially.
So what was the reason that you shifted?
Again, it was a few different things.
Okay.
I had met with a few different publishers that were probably at that point a little old for the industry and were about to age out, but they listened to my stuff, and both were guys, and both were very like, oh, as a woman, like, you can't write about, you know, breakups or heartbreak or whatever. And like, you should just be like the happy blonde, which I'm not even blonde. I don't know. People want people to see me, but I'm not blonde.
So just for the listeners, because it's audio, you must see my facial expressions as Maya is talking. Like, are we not past 1940s and 50s and 60s? Have we not gotten past this nonsense?
Yeah. So it was getting that kind of feedback. I was just like, ugh. And then I was also getting feedback from people that my melodies were very pop, and there was a lot of outside messaging that maybe I didn't really fit in country. And I still write it. I'll write it for other people. And I love the music. I love the genre. I think it's opened up wildly since, I mean, it was 6 years ago when I moved to Nashville. And I feel like it's changed a lot even in the past 6 years. But I was kind of in the formula of country writing, and it felt like songwriting was losing the heart for me. Like, it felt more like you write to a hook, you write to a title, and every line supports the hook instead of like what is just coming out. I really appreciate learning the formulaic writing style, because there's so much, it can be a really cool structure or thing to play around with. But I also missed just like emoting.
Exactly. Because now there's this, country music has expanded. Now there's this country EDM wave that's happening, and all these different things that you had never thought about. EDM and country, like, I understand that you create country music or write for other artists for country, but how do you create a song for yourself?
Every time is a bit different. I think because I did learn in the country formula kind of way, I do, like, I'll write down titles a lot. That's a big thing. You write to a title. So I'll just get little phrases. If I'm watching a movie and somebody says something, or I'm having a conversation or reading a book, there's a song on my upcoming album called God Forbid. And I was seeing that a lot on TikTok, where people are like, God forbid a girl wants a snack or something, you know? And it just kept coming back up and caught my attention. So I wrote that down as a title and didn't really know the direction that I was going to take it, but knew that I wanted to hold on to it. So that's one way where it'll be a title. Other ways, I'll just hear full kind of phrases with a melody, and then I'll sit down and try to write chords to it. Or I write a lot with other writers or producers. I really love, when I'm writing with a producer, to just sort of talk about a vibe and then let them start to create a track. And a lot of times that will inspire just lyrics and melody for me, and we'll kind of sneak up on the song that way.
I like that. Sneak up on the song. That sounds like a title of a song. I'm just saying. Tell us, you referenced this album coming out. Tell us more.
It's going to be my debut album. It's called American Doll. Kind of came together partially by accident. When I'm in Nashville, I write a lot with other people. So I had just been writing a bunch. I had a bunch of songs, and a few stood out that I knew I wanted to put out. Oh, again, it was TikTok. TikTok does like inspire stuff sometimes, where I can't remember why, but somebody said like American Girl Doll, and then it made me think of American Girl Dolls. I was like, oh, that would be a cool title. And then I was like, no, that's not a cool title. It's like really lame. But I had this idea to flip it, where it's like, I know she's your girl, American Doll. So it's still like American Girl Doll, but the girl comes before.
Yes.
And after I wrote that song, I don't know why, but it kind of put this world into my head. And I made a mood board after that because it was a visual world. So I made a mood board and I started bringing that into rights and then explaining kind of the concept of the album to co-writers or producers. And so then we started writing very intentionally for the project.
I love that you're releasing an album. As I hear from a lot of artists these days that it's the EP world, it's the single world, you know, and people, they don't have the attention span long enough to focus on an album, which for me is like, frustration. Was there any resistance to release an album and still continue to do or do more EPs? Or was it, you said it was intentional to create it, but was there anyone saying, oh no, you know, you shouldn't do it because it's all about the singles now?
I'm releasing several singles before the album. So it's kind of a compromise where it's not going to be like one single and then the album. I think that's been a cool strategy to get people excited for a project. But I don't know, maybe this is just because this is how I feel, but I feel like more people are willing to dive into an album and kind of dive into an artist world or sonic landscape, especially because at a certain point, we have so many options. Like if you put on a playlist, that's one way to kind of get around the option thing. You can just put on a playlist. But I think a lot of people are starting to want to just put on albums and let that play.
I've got another title of a song for you that you just said, Sonic Landscape. There we go. By the end of this interview, you're going to have another whole album. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to you guys to say thank you so much for all the hard work you do. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, listening to song from one to whatever number. I'm unsure if you are or not aware, massive uptick of physicals around the world, specifically in Europe, the US, UK. In fact, a couple of years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. Also last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. And based on these exchanges, they monitor or gauge something around tax. But because of the upsurge of CDs, CDs now are back in the basket. And the research is showing it's the teenagers, the younger kids diving into these worlds. We've also got streaming platforms that people are consuming music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
That's so interesting. I definitely I've been aware that physical copies are coming back. I love actually that CDs are coming back. I hadn't really heard about it until Gracie Abrams was releasing The Secret of Us. And I think one of her merch items was a CD. And something about it, I think maybe because it's been off the market for so long or out of the kind of general thought of, around music, I was like, I really want that CD. So I could just pop it in my car and like listen to a CD at some point. Yeah, I think the industry's a little bit of the Wild West right now and has been, you know. Yeah. It's both in like marketing and promotion, but also with streaming and with radio and with physical copies. And I mean, there are so many people in the world, obviously, and so many different ways to consume music. And I'm psyched to see that people are wanting more of a physical way to listen or consume, or even that energetic exchange with an artist and with music, where I think so much happens online. When you have something in your hands, it's a very different, it feels more personal or more real. So I've been psyched about that coming back. And that reminds me, I need to get on making some physical copies.
Okay, so you referenced the tour. What do you enjoy about performing live?
Oh gosh, I love meeting people. That's kind of my favorite. Actually seeing people in the audience and getting to meet people after shows. And I'm a big hugger. So if people like hugs, I'm like, come give me a hug after the show. That's probably my favorite. Since I've been preparing for it, I've been thinking a lot about this. It feels a lot like hosting a party, at least for me at this stage, mm-hmm. because very indie, you know, a lot of it, it's just me and my manager trying to figure out everything around the tour. And so it feels like 4 months before you actually go and play shows, you're creating a space, you know, and it's creating a world for people to come and engage with, and even holding an energetic space for people to come and participate in.
I'm that dude that's right up in front. I'm dancing, I'm jamming. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two pictures, one or two videos, and then I put it away. I notice these days people are videoing and posting and tweeting a lot during the shows. Do you not feel that takes away from that energy, taking away from seeing the people's faces and you rather see their phones, or it's just where society is at this stage?
Yeah, I think it's probably a bit of both. There is an aspect where you're not seeing the person's face at that point, but if that's how they want to engage with it, that's how they want to engage, you know? And so if somebody's posting it, I'm like, great. Like, that's awesome. I appreciate you promoting it for me and posting it. I also love seeing people's faces. I look at people, which I probably should chill on that a little bit, but I will like make eye contact and be like, yay, especially if they're dancing or having fun. I am very aware of how people are doing in the audience. And so I love to see people that way. But then also I understand if somebody's like bought a ticket and they want to take videos to, that's also super flattering.
You've referenced the album coming out, the tour. I know a lot is secret in your world. Is what else is coming up over the next period of time?
Well, I'm writing for the next project now too, which is fun. It's fun to be in this world and then also kind of looking forward to the next one. I've been doing a lot of trips down to New York since I've been up in Boston, because you can just take the train down. It's like a 4-hour train ride. So I've been writing with more people down there, which has been really, really fun. We haven't announced it yet, but we're going to do a West Coast tour in November as well. I'm calling it in right now to do a Europe tour, maybe hopefully in 2026, just get overseas and get into that market a bit. I'd love to do some stuff in Australia too. Yeah. And then life-wise, I have no idea. I'm very much like, I just end up where I am.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 years, 5 hours, in 5 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite. Like I said, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five other artists once you finish this conversation, who would they be? And if you can think of specific songs of theirs, what songs would you play?
I love this question. I love the phrasing because it is so true that it's going to change. It always changes. But top of mind right now, I've been listening to Samia a lot. I don't know if you've heard of her. She's great. Her song Fair Game and Proof, those have been on repeat for me. Maybe Nova too. She's a smaller artist, but I think she has like only 5 songs out. I had heard about her because I was in a write with a couple other writers and we were writing for pitch for her. I think she writes all of her own stuff and she's an incredible writer. That's how I got introduced to her. Do You Like That Baby is her, just came out. And that's been one of my favorites of hers lately.
And sorry, she's called Nova.
Baby Nova.
Oh, Baby Nova. Okay.
She's really cool. Harry Styles, his Fine Line album, that's a go-to for me. I love the production on Golden and Adore You. To Be So Lonely, too, that one is one of my favorites on the album. Billy Joel, too. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to a lot of Billy Joel lately. The Stranger is a classic.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get into some of his other stuff, too. That was on repeat in my house growing up. And then, Doechii. Been listening to a lot of Doechii lately too, and Kendrick Lamar. He's been a recent one as well. Can I ask who your 5 are right now?
Oh, okay. Not many people ask. Let's think. I'm going to go with Sophie Ellis-Bextor. So she's got a new song called Our Dolce Vita. The Eagles, Hotel California, Paula Abdul, Cold Hearted, Janet Jackson, Miss You Much. And let's see who else. Wilson Phillips, Hold On. So that's just came through in this moment.
I love that.
Thank you for asking me. I appreciate that. And that's just, and obviously Maya Manuela's song is going to be next on the list. So Maya, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
A big thing that's been coming up for me lately, which I don't know why, but I've had a big thing around hope. like just no matter what you're going through, life can be so abusive. Like life can be really, really, really tough, but it's always going to change. And just like whatever is going on right now, just continue to look for hope and have hope and work on the practice of having hope.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.